Welcome back. And I got to tell you, if you've ever had any questions about the man listening to this show right now, your questions are answered. Soon as I asked Brian if he wanted to hang on and continue to take more calls about the CIA, the NSA, spying, security, the phone went dead. And it took us almost 15 minutes to get him back. But we have technology here. We have the staff, and he's back with us. This is Coast to Coast AM. Very excited. It is Friday night, and we are taking your calls. Now, a mysterious white plane was spotted circling the Denver metro area yesterday, or it was on Wednesday, and it freaked out residents, freaked out the authorities, as no one can seem to identify where it came from or what it was doing. The aircraft appeared on flight trackers under the name Iron 99 and came to Denver from California. Once it arrived over Denver, the plane just began circling the city. I got texts, I got messages, I got video, I got photographs, but it even gets more strange. The aircraft then left the area, flew towards Oklahoma City, where it just disappeared from those flight trackers. Check out the full story right now over at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie on this Friday night. Open lines, Brian Lunduke, what could be better? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me bring Brian in real quick before we get to the phone calls. Brian, that was strange, man.
That was. My power went out here for just a brief moment, but it took everything down with it, of course, because I use a voice over IP line for my phone and everything. It just went down. And as soon as it did that, I had that same thought you did. I'm like, great, they're listening.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, you know what? That was our goal, right? That was our goal.
And at least we're getting the message through.
I feel like I just winked at the man a little bit. Let's go west of the Rockies. Let's go to Gwen up in Washington State. Gwen, welcome to Coast. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I had heard when the Pokemon Go first came out a rumor that a high proportion of the locations, particularly like the gyms, were in churches. I'm just wondering if that was true, if you heard that, and why that might be.
Well, Gwen, before Brian jumps in, let me ask you where you heard that from.
On a talk show.
Oh, okay. All right, that's interesting. Brian, have you heard about that?
So, yeah, that is actually somewhat true. It's not just churches. What it really is for the most part, it's high population density areas. So churches are good, malls are good, the White House is good. Any area where you've got people going to it a lot, or you want to have effective coverage of an area, those areas are the most likely, it seems, to get the Pokemon gyms.
Oh, there you go, Gwen. All right, question answered. Thank you for the phone call. And let's jump to, we're going to have to stay west because he's been on hold for a while. Let's go to Paul, San Andreas, California. Paul, welcome to Coast.
Hello, thank you. I'm 81 years old. I'm sitting there so long that I almost forgot what I wanted to ask you.
But you didn't, Paul, did you?
Anyway, no, what I want to know is I don't have any of this fancy stuff. I'm old-fashioned, but I have a landline phone. And I just wondered, when I call, like my grandkids or stuff, and they have cell phones, and I come on to, do they also record what I'm saying?
Yes. So realistically, even most landline phones nowadays are digital as well. So even if you're not really seeing it, even if you're not using a cell phone and the like, your conversations are still being routed through the corporate data centers, are still being recorded at least from a high level. At least they're recording, you know, what calls you're making, how long, and who you're talking to, and all that good stuff. And yes, if the end device, so the person you're calling, has an insecure system of any kind, then yes, absolutely.
There you go, Paul. Thank you for the phone call. Never forget, you call your grandkids, you're getting recorded. All right, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to, I know, right? Right? It doesn't matter. You can go as analog as you want. Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about the size of those server farms, and I know I make fun of it, you know, server farms in the ocean. But there is so much storage. You know, when people say, well, wait a minute, Jimmy, how could they store all of this information? I just think, are you kidding? You know, what does it cost now for a 2 terabyte drive at your local store? And just think about that for a second. And then imagine that times a trillion.
Right. That is exactly right. If you go onto Amazon's, find the cheapest storage you can find for, you know, the cost per, you know, per megabyte or whatever however you're measuring it. And then imagine if the United States government just granted a $1 trillion bond to go out and buy nothing but those hard drives and stack them end to end. And you realize that the sheer amount of storage is really feasible if you've got the budget to make it happen, and the U.S. government does.
That's exactly right. Let's go to a wildcard line, Charles, out in Texas. Charles, welcome to Coast.
Oh, wow. hi there. I've always had an issue with Facebook, and of course, me and my dad both, I kind of approved of my dad being sort of old-fashioned, never did like cell phones and things like that, but he said call them idiot phones, actually. I never did text, he never did text until, unfortunately, after he was, he died this year, but I've noticed one thing, people are really obsessed with texting over even talking to each other, which is really interesting to me, but I guess it's easier to survey, but the biggest thing is, I think, all the things that involve texting as opposed to actually, you know, the music of the human voice and communication, it seems to be, my question is really more about the original, what do you think about the original purposes as far as the intelligence agencies go, and surveillance, the original purposes of Facebook, because I know Zuckerberg kind of got in trouble for stealing something over at Harvard, some personal records, and then posted them on whatever was the equivalent of Facebook at the time that he was involved with it. And I think there was a little deal struck between him and the agency so he wouldn't get in jail.
Charles, before we run into a break here, what's your question for Brian?
The question is, what do you think about, I mean, Facebook is, compared to Pokemon Go, Facebook is nothing, but what do you think about the original purposes? I mean,
as data collection. Oh, I got you, Charles. All right. Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. Brian, what do you think? The original version of Facebook put out there for data collection too as well?
You know, I mean, it is clearly for data collection. The question is what is it data collection for? So, like, if you have Facebook and their purpose behind data collection originally was to make money, it might simply be collecting data to analyze it and sell marketing or Amazon-sponsored links to you or whatnot. The problem is, as soon as an organization, whether it's Facebook or Google or anyone else, starts doing that, they became a really, really big target for both government agencies, other businesses, and anyone else who just may want that data.
Right, right. Yeah, very scary. You know, I mean, like, the scariest, actually, is the way that I want to look at it. Let's go to the wild card, Mike. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, I've got a contract phone. You don't have to give your name or any. They just have your phone number. Are you protected anyway that way?
You can be a little bit. The reality is they still know the location of that phone. And if you're making phone calls to other people that have a known relation to you, a wife, a mother, a child, a friend, etc., they can relatively quickly, just by knowing that information, figure out who it is that has that phone. The same is true is if you have an Android or iOS phone, the moment you begin using the App Store on your phone, they now know who you are. That's now tied to your device, to the SIM card inside your phone, or the lack of a SIM card, depending on the type of device it is. But they have it tied to that phone, which immediately throws away any value of having what we would consider to be a burner phone, basically.
Right, right. And thank you for the phone call, Mike. And see, this is the thing, because once you get to the Apple Store, right, or get to the Google Store, the App Store, now they have your Google information there. So now they know who you are. And if you want to purchase anything, then definitely they have your address and they have a credit card number or a debit card number. Even if it's a throwaway debit card, there's a thing that your purchases are all tracked. And so all of that information in that burner phone, when you start to use it in that capacity, they know everything about you. But that doesn't, because it's a burner phone, I want to be clear here, Brian, that just because it's a burner phone doesn't mean that they can't access the camera, doesn't mean they can't access your files or anything that you've done with the phone. They have access to everything when you download the game.
That's absolutely right.
See, that's the scary part. Oh, it's just a burner phone. Okay, download the game if you feel that safe. Let's go way out east to Jay in Florida. Jay, welcome to Coast.
Hey, good morning, guys. Oh, thought I was on the wild card line. Okay, so I had some comments and then a quick question. I wanted to get into, first of all, is it okay to say the name of a video that really explains a lot of this?
No.
No, okay. Won't do
only
that.
Because I haven't seen the video, and it could be about anything, Jay, right? Okay, so okay. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so the what people don't realize is, okay, CERN is directly connected to this, and apparently this goes back to at least the 80s and getting into the Internet and the World Wide Web and everything that came along with it. I would highly suggest people actually do some research with Facebook and the Illuminati and their link to it. And how, you know, that not only is this massive Illuminati, satanic Illuminati mind control, MK Ultra, this is... since it's tied to CERN, it is opening portals to hell. Now, some people are saying, you play this, you're going to hell. But we know that CERN has been opening portals to hell. They were involved with the direct ritual that they did on June 6, 2016, of where they had the bizarre satanic ritual and parade, and they officially opened the gates of hell.
Okay, well, Jay, let me jump in and because we're going to run out of time right here. What does this have to do with Pokemon Go?
I want people to realize just how far back this goes and how CERN is tied in with it and the Illuminati, as you guys kind of alluded to earlier with all these government agencies.
Okay, well, it is indeed a possibility. So, you know, and the thing is, I don't know if Brian knows anything about CERN. I've never discussed it with him, but I don't know what CERN is doing. You know, that's a pretty interesting situation out there. And Jay, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for making us aware of that. And I want to go, let's see, we have enough time. Okay, I want to go to Marlo in Long Beach, California. Marlo, welcome to Coast.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And thank you, Brian, for all of your work with this. It's a great topic, and you've put out a lot of great information. And I actually saw the video that was just referenced, and it is a bizarre video and worth looking at. I don't know about how much of it I'm going to buy.
Okay. Well, what's your question for Brian? We're up against a break.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
The link, what I'm asking about is Apple's link to these agencies. Have you researched or discovered any of that? The reason I ask is some things that I just can't see as coincidental, and it's that Apple's design that requires the battery to not be removed,
yep,
so that they can actually power it up and access all the features. The recent announcement that the earphone jack is going to be removed, so that now we have to use a very vulnerable Bluetooth headset, and the not-too-recent past of the FBI's claim that they couldn't access the San Bernardino shooter's phone, and their implausible explanation that somehow the FBI was responsible for locking it, but then a third party was able to come in and unlock it. It just
Yeah, three. Three. Thank you for the phone call, Marlo. Three great points there, Brian. Okay.
How much time do we have?
We've got about 3.5 minutes.
Okay. So that's actually a really, really interesting set of points. So to tackle the first bit first. So if you buy an iPhone, you can't remove the battery. Now, we know for a fact that through various leaks and revelations that the NSA can access the microphone in your cell phone, even if your cell phone is turned off, but if it has power to it. So if it is plugged in or has the battery in it, not being able to remove your battery makes that much, much more difficult to protect against such a thing. It is still possible to do that. I recommend putting your cell phone into a microwave will block the signals coming in and out of it and will make it so they can't use that microphone to listen in. The other side of things is if you're walking around with your cell phone, that microphone is able to be activated really at any point by the NSA. So in order to get around that, what individuals like Edward Snowden, yada, yada, will recommend is to actually open up your phone and disconnect the wire that connects the microphone in your phone to the rest of your phone, thus making it so the microphone doesn't actually work. And then to get around that, whenever you want to make or receive a call, you plug in a wired headphone jack that has a microphone and an earbud into it to actually make your call. And when you're done with the call, you unplug it, thus rendering that microphone useless. By taking away that wired jack, Apple now forces you to have a wireless Bluetooth headset in order to connect to it. And that wireless connection is much less secure and can be activated at any time, thereby basically removing that option from you to kind of make sure your phone is secure. So that does raise a lot of questions. I don't know if Apple is doing that to make new products or if they're doing that because the NSA really wanted them to. I have no inside information on that, but it does make the NSA's job easier, most definitely.
Now, what about the other aspect, really quickly, that he touched upon, which is this, the data collection that is going on with the cell phone carriers and providers, the data that they are collecting on a massive scale is now a business, and they're turning around and selling that data that they collect from us that we give to them, right?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
turning around and selling that back to the government, and it's now for profit. Does that even seem, you know, it's a moral issue for sure, but it almost seems illegal, but it's a huge business today.
It's a gigantic business, and it's not just the cell providers. It's Google's terms of service allows them to do that as well. The Pokemon Go terms of service allow the company behind Pokemon Go to use their data, that data that they collect from you, pretty much however they want. They can give it to law enforcement. They can sell it to other agencies, other businesses, other government agencies. You're kind of granting any of these agencies, any of these businesses, carte blanche to do pretty much whatever they want with your data, and that's cell phone services, all of it. And that is morally, to me, absolutely wrong. It's repugnant, but it's happening in bulk.
It's Friday night. We're taking your calls. It's open lines. Brian Lundu, tech journalist for Network World. And when we come back, one of the questions that I do have for Brian in that area is, what if you collected data that was used against you in court? Think about that, and we'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. All right, welcome back to Coast. Who knows where that song is from? I'm watching Twitter right now. I want to know if you know who is smart, like Brian Lunduke. We're talking about Pokemon Go, the NSA, security, Google, and you. It's Friday night. It's open lines. But check this out. This is some breaking news. Our friend, researcher Brian Forrester, down in Peru, has come into possession of a strange humanoid figure that some are now suspecting it may be the mummified remains of an alien. Now, Brian says the artifact was discovered in a cave located in the southern desert of Peru. In addition to the alien-looking skull, Brian also received the creature's corresponding body as well. He hopes to have the material subjected to DNA test in order to learn more about its composition and possibly its origins. Now, you can check out the full story over at Coast to Coast AM, and we are right now reaching out to Brian, and we're going to try to get him on the show tomorrow night for a brief breakdown of this crazy breaking news story. It's Friday night. Brian Lunduke is a technology journalist for Network World. He's with us. He's taking your phone calls and answering your questions next. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Coast AM. I want to thank Brian Lunduke for coming in tonight and in advance of this last segment as we roll through this. Thank you so much, Brian. It's been a great night. And let's go to the first time caller's line. Let's go to Barb in Omaha, Nebraska. Barb, you're up next on Coast.
Hi there. I've had a lot of problems with past boyfriends secretly taping me. I know it sounds weird.
Not really.
But
No.
I didn't even know it was happening, and it's
right.
It caused so much.
Well,
just so much stress in my life, and now the current guy I'm with is doing the same thing. I mean, like those personal bugging devices in the house.
Yeah, what you do, Brian's going to tell you the same thing, but I'll let him verify my advice. How's that?
Okay.
Get out a roll of tape and put tape over every single camera, your laptop, if you have to, your phone, your smart TV.
I've done that. He gets mad at me because he thinks I'm being paranoid, and I know I'm not.
No. Hey, Brian. Do you have any cameras live in your house, in your studio?
Oh my gosh, no.
Exactly.
Absolutely not. I have a webcam that I plug in when I want to chat, and I unplug it when
unplug
I'm done with it. All the other ones covered.
Yep. I have.
No, he was gone out of town for a little while, and I totally unplugged like our direct television and stuff like that. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten around.
No, it's
here.
Not just Barb. It's not just you. Okay.
Yes.
You have right now in your I have not been to your house, Barb. I have not turned on the cameras. I haven't looked, but I'm going to tell you this. You have smart everything. Everything is smart. Everything is smart. So that's it.
I do. I have brand new appliances. They're
right.
All smart.
Right.
You can't go around and unplug those all the time.
That's right.
I don't even know what to do with those.
That's right. I mean, what is the bigger, Brian, let me, I'll keep Barb on so she can hear your answer directly. But most of these devices, if not all, run Android. And not only do they run Android, but they run an antiquated version of Android, which has been cracked a million times.
Yeah.
Any crazy-headed hacker with a bad agenda could literally turn off every smart refrigerator in the United States and hold us all for ransom if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could hold our popsicles for ransom quite easily.
That's right. So think about that, Barb. Smart everything. Buy unsmart. And thank you for calling Coast. But, you know, she brings up the most obvious point that, you know, you and I were talking about this the other day, Brian. And I got so paranoid when I was having some technical issues that I just got up and made sure that all of my cameras were unplugged because I have, like, you know, a bunch in the studio because we do live video feeds. I went around and unplugged them, pointed them to the ceiling, a couple of laptops that were live aside from the towers. I taped up everything in a couple of minutes because you just got me all freaked out.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say that you shouldn't be paranoid, you shouldn't get too worried, but the reality is people are watching you. They really are. I mean, for all of its flaws, the recent Snowden movie made a really good point that the NSA and other agencies as well have direct access to the webcams and all of your laptops and your computers relatively easily. Almost regardless of which operating system you're running, unless you're running a fully open system like a Linuxy system where you know it doesn't have any back doors in it. But most people aren't running those sorts of systems, which means that their systems are not secure. Their privacy is not really being protected, and it's really hard to keep them from looking at you any other way than just, putting tape over the microphone or unplugging it entirely.
Is there a Linux smartphone?
So there's a couple of them. None of them have done very well and in the market. And because of that, they're usually only on the market for a short period of time. So there's not really a good one I can go out and recommend to people to say, hey, go look at this one as an alternative to Android or iOS.
Right.
And that's a major bummer.
Yeah. I see this whole Pokemon CIA thing. I see a screenplay here. Let's go to Oscar right here in Los Angeles, California. Oscar, you're writing a screenplay about Pokemon Go?
No, but I actually have a question about DARPA and their agenda to make a mechanized army by the year 2025. And I'm concerned because I've seen projects like Project Sword. And personally, I don't want to be killed by a robot.
Right. Well, unfortunately, and thank you for the phone call, Oscar. Oscar, I don't know if you will, but somebody will pretty soon. That the line of the singularity and robots and technology and AI not only getting larger and mechanized with drones and pilotless planes and so forth, but it's also getting smaller too as well. And I see a mechanized swarm coming our way sooner or later. Don't you, Brian?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of interesting that you bring that up. Google owns a company that they bought a couple of years back called DeepMind. And DeepMind is an artificial intelligence company that has gotten a little bit of attention for beating a couple of Go players and things like that. But recently it's come out that it's gotten so good that it's better at reading human lips than human lip readers. So if you combine that sort of functionality with the fact that people are walking around with their cell phones in front of them, even if they're not in, say, microphone listening distance of you, as long as the camera on the back of the phone can see people's mouths and faces, the servers running DeepMind, that where the data is getting uploaded to, should be able to fairly accurately read the lips of people even at a distance. And you combine that together with, you know, robots and self-driving cars and a bunch of other things, and you come up with some scary scenarios.
Yeah, because that is apparently the goal. And I have to ask you, how smart is Google and their machine worldwide and this level of AI that is pumping back into their machine, dealing with emotions, us, our brains, anticipating our very next move, whatever it may be? How smart is it really?
So what we know for sure, as of right now, we know that facial recognition is fantastic. We know that lip reading is getting quite good, that voice dictation, listening to voices and transcribing them down into text so that they can be searched and analyzed, that's happening in near real time and in fairly high levels of accuracy. And you combine that together with Google's understanding of us as an individual, what we like to do, what websites we go to, how we talk, what sort of grammar we use, what other people we're connected to. And you combine all of that information together, and Google is astoundingly smart. I would border on saying they have the most information that any organization has ever had in the history of planet Earth about each and every one of us. Now, in the past, Google has always said that their mantra is that they don't do evil. They don't say that as much anymore. In fact, I don't know that they've said that at all anymore. But that was their kind of mantra in the past as a way of kind of making us calm down about the fact that they know just about everything and can even read our lips. So it is concerning, and yes, it is astounding what they can accomplish and the artificial intelligence that Google has going on right now.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. Tom, right here in Riverside, California. Tom, welcome to Coast.
Hello, Jimmy and Brian. I wanted to point out that the public phones across the country have been almost eradicated, and I guess that's obvious to everybody. But I think that's a public disservice. It's a slap in the face to everybody across the country. That should be in place for just public safety and public convenience. And it's been hijacked. Obviously, I think it's not just an accident. It's not business. It's been helped along by government, so we're all tethered to this. You can't do anything. You can't express even a thought, because your thought is connected to a computer that's being monitored by the government. And I know DARPA is kind of started this, right? The internet deal, indirectly maybe or directly, and the cell phone. This was probably thought of somewhere around the World War II, and it's been brought along with the Kennedy assassination to remove the most decent president that you could ask for at that time, and just a hero to this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And next week is November 22nd. Thank you for the phone call, Tom. Brian, what did you think? What do you think about that? When was the last time you saw a payphone?
It is crazy. I remember when I first started getting, having cell phones that were a little bit more intelligent, the first smartphones. Me and my friends would joke about, why would anyone need a payphone? We'd see one out in the wild and we'd think, oh, what a relic of the Stone Age. And now here I am many years later. I don't have a cell phone for security reasons. And now I realize, walking around, there aren't any payphones anymore. And I kind of wish there were now. So, yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go back out east of the Rockies to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, you're up next.
So I used to play Pokemon Go. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. I was really big into it. They are always talking about introducing trading and battling, which would connect you to other Go devices. And yeah. I was wondering, would that allow them to tap into the information on another device that you connect to for trading and battling? And would it let you tap into just anybody's phone? Do you even have to have the app for somebody to tap into it?
Okay, great question, Chris. Thank you so much. What do you think about that, Brian? I understand, if it's somebody else with Pokemon.
Yeah.
But what about without?
Probably not without. And even with, more likely than not, you're not going to gain significant information from someone else's phone. Having the ability to connect people together and to better manage groups of people in that way is going to be a benefit for anyone wanting to utilize this as a surveillance tool. But it's probably not going to give, say, Steve down the block the ability to access Robert up the street's phone.
Interesting. And the phone itself, phone to phone, even if the game was there, I get that. But there's no reason to. The access goes back to the Pokemon servers. They're the ones that are accessing your phone, not another phone.
Right, exactly. There's no reason that they would want that functionality in there for a surveillance purpose. Like, if me and Jimmy are out playing Pokemon together and they add the functionality where we can play together and battle each other with Pokemons, that's an interesting functionality for getting people to play together, but they wouldn't have any vested interest in me being able to get access to Jimmy's information. They already have Jimmy's information. They have my information. They're good.
Yeah, exactly.
What it is already done.
I get it. Let's go to Wildcard Annie in Alabama. You're next up.
Oh, hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey there. My experience has been that sometimes the only way to stop a malicious download really fast is to rip that plug out of the wall on your desktop or pop that battery out real fast. And some of these laptops have batteries that won't pop out. They're hardwired. And I just believe that there's got to be a way to rework that wiring, even if you have to attach something to the back to hold it all, because it might take up more space. You might have to create a housing to go piggyback on the back to put the battery in. I'm not sure it'd fit in. It's so tight. There's got to be a way to get these batteries to pop out of these iPhones. You got to rewire it.
Yeah, great. And Annie, that is the best call of the night right there. Thank you for the phone call. Okay, Brian, Before we get to the battery in the iPhone or any phone, you see the malware downloading, right? You see it. And I know, what's the best thing to do? Turn off the computer, yank the plug out of the wall? Will that do anything?
Honestly, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah, do that. And then come back and try and run some sort of a trusted malware or virus detection program if you're running a Mac OS or Windows. That's probably the best way to go. The unfortunate thing is, there's a lot of malware and spyware that can get installed without you really ever noticing it if you're running, say, Windows. So if you want to be secure, and I say this a lot to my readers and the like, you need to be running a system that can be audited. So then that means a open source system where people can actually audit the source code to it. And that means installing a version of Linux, which most people aren't necessarily inclined to do because that's work, that's learning curve, that's learning a new system. So I understand why a lot of people don't. But if you want to make sure that you're not super vulnerable to so many of these bits of malware and spyware, that's one of the only real defenses you have against it. And then going from the hardware side of things, on the iPhone, a lot of it's actually glued together. So if you manage to get the thing apart, you're going to have a hard time getting it back together. So you are going to end up with kind of a duct tape together phone after the fact. You probably can do it. I've never taken an iPhone, a current model iPhone, apart and looked inside, but I'm sure it's probably doable.
You know, my best defense, and I've had very, very little problems when it comes to malware or issues with viruses in the last 10 years or so. And I'll tell you what, well, yeah, I run antivirus. Of course I do. I've got it on everything. But you know what? I just don't click. I don't do it. I don't open up any emails that I don't know anything. And I don't click on the inside of an email ever. I read an email if I have to, if it comes in. I go to websites that I know, and I click on stuff that I know. I don't go and explore anymore. Brian, thank you so much for the show tonight. And for everybody, go click on Brian's name right now at Coast to Coast AM to take you right over to Lunduke.com. Brian Lunduke, one of the best. You should read him every day. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your calls next.